Matthew chapter 6. I invite you to turn with me today. Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing our series today entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven. A lot of people are great with going to heaven when they die, but some not so much okay with heaven coming into their life now through Jesus. And that's what this series is all about. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. We're walking through Matthew chapters 5 through 7, and Jesus essentially is saying here, the kingdom has come upon you. And when we follow Jesus and place faith in Him, it is a new kingdom way of living, a new kingdom way of life. And today, Matthew chapter 6, we're looking at verses 1 through 4 together, and we're looking today at hypocrisy. There was an influential leader who came onto the world stage years ago who freely used Christian vocabulary. He talked often about the blessing of God upon his life. He was quick to wave his tattered Bible in front of the masses, proclaiming that he was a follower of the one true way. He declared that Christian confessions would be the pillars of a new government that he wanted to lead. There were scores of religious people who welcomed him as a man sent from God. He was a master of outward religiosity, but on the inside, he was completely and totally spiritually bankrupt. The name of this leader, Adolf Hitler. And that might be the most glowing example of a hypocrite in the history of mankind. And when we think about hypocrisy, we think about someone who on the outside says one thing, but who on the inside is living a totally different life. And Adolf Hitler, that's an extreme example, right? At least in the minds of people in this world, that would be an extreme example. But there are a whole lot of generally good people who also live lives that appear to be one thing, but are actually another. And so if someone looks at you and calls you a hypocrite, that stings a little bit, doesn't it? That's almost like the supreme spiritual epithet, isn't it? It's like the one word that if you call yourself a Christian that you don't want anyone to call you or anyone else to think that you are a hypocrite. That is the one reason that some people, or a reason that some people say they don't attend church, is because supposedly there are so many hypocrites there. Well, today we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 at hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? And we're going to see here two teachings of Jesus where he tells us how to avoid hypocrisy. And then at the conclusion of our service today, God is going to give us an opportunity, and I'm going to give us an opportunity to respond and just confess those areas in our lives, because if we got honest about it, we all deal with this. Come on, church. So God's going to give us an opportunity today just to make that right with Him. I'm going to invite you to come and just respond and say, Jesus, help today. Help me today for my private devotion to match my public persona. And that's the supreme question as we dive into this today, isn't it? Are you a hypocrite? It even stings to hear that, doesn't it? It's convicting to even consider that question. But are you a hypocrite today? Does your private life match your public appearance? Matthew chapter 6, let's dive in together, verses 1 through 4. Jesus writing here, he says, or speaking here, he says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet. That's where we get the idea, by the way, of don't toot your own horn, is literally from this passage and from this idea. It says, don't sound a trumpet before you when you give to the poor as the hypocrites. There's the word, right? This word is listed four times within chapter 6 and the first section of chapter 7. It's a theme that we see here really in the entirety of chapter 6. And he says, don't do like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people, to impress others so that others will notice. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Hypocrisy. The Sermon on the Mount, just to remind us here, this entire sermon, it feels like if you read it on surface level that it's just some random moral ideas thrown together. Well, that's not true really at all. It builds upon itself. Last week, Pastor Kevin did such a great job. Pastor Kevin Miller with us did such a great job of leaning back into chapter 5. And, you know, if you harbor anger in your heart, that type of passion in your heart, it can lend itself to lust. Well, what does lust lend itself to? Well, adultery. It can lead to adultery. And then adultery causes what? Divorce. Isn't that interesting? That's next. And then right after divorce, he talks about keeping your word. Isn't that interesting? So keeping the oaths that you have made. And then he moves from that into talking about how we shouldn't retaliate toward those who wrong us. Well, that just fits right in all of that idea, doesn't it? And then he finishes chapter 5 with that big idea. Don't just love your neighbors, but love who, church? Also, your enemies, and pray even for those who persecute you. So it builds upon itself. And naturally, now we come to chapter 6 at the beginning of this chapter, and Jesus says, because, why? This is not a performance. This is not just some appearance thing. True faith in Christ is a matter of what? The heart. And that's what he's getting at here. And so hypocrisy here, he says, don't be a hypocrite. And he gives some examples. He says, so when you give, don't toot your own horn, man. Don't go around boasting about how generous you are or trying to flaunt what you've done for others. But when you give to the poor, do it in secret. Bless them in secret. He goes on to talk about prayer, which we'll look at, Lord willing, next week. He says, when you pray, and this ought to encourage us today, don't pray to impress others. God hears and answers humble, simple prayers. And we're going to get into that next week. He'll talk about fasting later in this chapter. He says, man, don't look gloomy when you fast. Don't put on this spiritual show for others, but instead, right, focus on the secret place with God in that. He goes on to say you can't serve two masters. How many of you know today you can't serve two masters, right? You can't serve God and wealth. And so he talks about that part of appearance, riches, religion. So he starts with religion. He'll move to riches. Then he talks about reputation. He says, man, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat like the Gentiles do. He says, does God not clothe the lilies of the field in beauty? You know, not even Solomon was clothed as they. So really what he's leaning into is this idea of appearance. And then he finishes, isn't it interesting, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, we'll look at this in a few weeks, where he says, don't judge lest you be judged. And so it's all bookended here. And so hypocrisy is putting appearance and performance above your secret devotion, your private life. So putting on airs for others. The word hypocrite in the original language is the word hypocritos. It's a word for actor. It is spiritual theatrics. And in Greco-Roman days, in Jesus' day, these actors in the theater, they would wear masks in order to impersonate someone else as a part of the dramatic, the play, as a part of theatrics. That's the idea here. This is the hardest word that Jesus has for any class of people, and he employs it here for those, for the Pharisees, these religious pretenders. And so it's putting on the mask. And again, chapter 6, the entire chapter really is an extended definition of hypocrisy. So hypocrisy is, listen to this, putting religion, riches, and or reputation before relationships. That's the idea here. Listen closely. Because when we think about hypocrisy, we just think about people who say one thing and do another. Right? Is that a good definition of hypocrisy in our mind typically? Well, someone who says one thing and does another. And that's a part of it. But the Pharisees did publicly what they said. The issue was internal, not so much external. And so that's what he's talking about in this chapter. Hypocrisy, listen to this, because this is convicting, because this is where we all live, isn't it? It's putting religion, riches, and or reputation before people or before relationships. That's the idea here. It is ultimately performance mentality. It is a utilitarian, listen close, view of people. In other words, I can take or leave you because I am so self-confident and successful in the world's eyes, or I have the things of this world and find my security and identity in that instead of in Jesus. Performance. If we got honest about it, isn't that the way our culture lives today? We judge everyone based on external things. Think about it. So are you religious or not? Do you go to church or not? Do we judge people that way sometimes? Do you go to church or not? Are you religious or not? Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Hello. Right? Do we judge people based on political things? Yes. Are you black, white, Hispanic, or Asian? What's your race? What's your nationality? Are you fit or not? Are you rich or are you poor or somewhere in between? Are you gay or are you straight? Are you an athlete, young people in school? Are you an athlete or are you not? Are you popular or are you not? I mean, these are the things that we judge people on. And that's what he's leaning into here. That's where he's going to finish this, we'll come to in the weeks ahead, finish this discourse on hypocrisy and how hypocritical of us to judge others based on externals when aren't you glad God doesn't judge us based on our externals. He looks at the heart, and that's how God judges us and how he makes a determination truly about us. Hypocrisy is the same thing as James chapter 2, where James talks about the sin of partiality. These two go very much hand in hand with one another, where we only identify with or spend time with or pursue relationships with people who are like us or think like us or have what we have or have the same political leanings that we have. That's the same idea here. Does that frame hypocrisy in a whole new light for you today, like it did for me studying this passage? Hypocrisy. And why is it such a big deal? Matthew 24:51. Listen to church, listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, this is hard, but it's straight from the mouth of Jesus. There is literally a special place in hell for hypocrites. Matthew 24:51. Go look it up on your own time. This is a big deal to God. Those who would put on this public persona without having true love and grace and the Spirit of God in their heart and truly be as devoted privately as they proclaim they are publicly. How do you avoid hypocrisy? Jesus hints at that here. He gives us two teachings on, really, when you lean into this, how to avoid hypocrisy. Number one, if we're going to avoid hypocrisy, we must first die to performance mentality. Church, we got to die to all that stuff. Aren't you glad that in the gospel, Jesus destroys all those barriers? He destroys all those things that divide us. And whenever we place faith in him, he brings us all together in one loving family. We have to crucify the flesh and all this performance stuff with its passions and its desires. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow after me. Jesus says here, he says, be careful. There's a warning there. Be careful not to practice your righteousness before others. And so that's interesting, because what did he say right before this in chapter 5? You remember? He said, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the pure in heart, peacemakers. But right after that, he says, we are to be salt and light in this world. And he says, so let your light so shine before others that they see your good works. And so if you're not careful, you can take this passage and that and almost feel like they're at contrast with each other. Well, no, that's not the case. What he's talking about here is doing things for the wrong reasons. He's talking about our heart motivation again here. Again, internal. He wants us to externally give. Didn't he say that here? He didn't say if you give. Come on, church. He said when you give. He didn't say if you pray. He says when you pray. He didn't say if, or he, later, if you fast. He says when we fast and pursue the heart of God. And so God wants our good works to be displayed before others. But he wants it, here it is, to be a true representation, an authentic display of what's really going on in our heart. True love for God and love for people, a heart of genuine worship. And so beware, be careful not to practice your righteousness before others, here it is, to be seen by them, so that they will think you are something that you are not. And there's an oxymoron here. Did you catch it? There's an oxymoron here. He says, be careful not to practice whose righteousness? Your righteousness. Is that a problem? Yeah. Church, listen to me. One of the biggest reasons that we begin to lean into performance mentality and judgmental attitude towards others and start sizing people up based on all that stuff and think that we're better than others is when we forget, I don't have any righteousness apart from Jesus. I don't have any apart from him. Listen, this is good today. Not only are we saved by Jesus, we are saved, come on church, because of Jesus. Because of him. Scripture says that we are great sinners. It's easy to forget as a child of God. We talk so much about his grace and thank God for grace. But it's so easy to forget we are sinners that need Jesus. When we forget the grace of God and how much we need the Spirit of God, and we think somehow now it's our righteousness, now that builds into that hypocritical attitude, doesn't it? And so we got to be careful with that. The scripture says that righteousness is a great exchange, that we are sinners. We deserve the judgment of God. But he, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us on the cross. That is the great grand news of the cross, is that Jesus took my punishment in my place. And now when I admit my unrighteousness and I confess my need of his salvation, that he comes to live in me when I submit to him as Lord. And now I am justified, made right with God, and I am given his righteousness. And now I enter this new kingdom way of living. Man, I'm following Jesus now. And it's by his grace and his strength and his assistance, if you will, and his power that I'm able to live this life. It's only through Jesus that we're able to obey God. It's only through Jesus and because of Jesus that we're even right with God. And so, children of God, may we not slip back into this, right, or slip into this place of hypocrisy, thinking that somehow we don't need the grace of God. When I don't show grace to others, come on now, it's because I have forgotten how much grace I need myself. And so we got to die to this performance mentality. the word here in the original language for beware. It's an imperative here. It's a command from Jesus. Be careful. Beware. It's the word prosecco here. It means to be in a continuous state of readiness. Why? Because there is danger lurking near you. Our flesh is dangerous. That sinful part of us is lurking near, and the devil with temptation is lurking near to destroy us. And when we drift, children of God, this is one of those areas where we can easily slip into and justify our critical words, our judgmental attitude, our, you know, well, I missed my prayer time and my Bible study time this week, but, you know, I'm saved in God's grace. And it's easy to slip into this place, isn't it? Of hypocrisy. And so we've got to understand there's danger here. Soldiers in the room and former soldiers, retired soldiers in the room. It's like the soldier who's in a forward area. That's the idea here. Not just hanging out on, you know, here at home, but who's deployed and who is in a forward area. And you've got to constantly be vigilant there. That's how we should be in our walk with God every day. We have a real enemy named Satan who wants to destroy our life, but also our flesh longs to come in, that sinful part of us. We can drift into this judgmental, critical place. And so we got to beware here. It reminds me of the story of a group of hikers. They were out west at one of the beautiful national parks out west, and they took a guided hike one day, had a park ranger that took them on a guided hike to show them all these different, sites and things. And the park ranger, man, his radio kept going off. And so he thought, man, that's just bothering us. So he turned that radio off. And they're going along and enjoying all the sights and seeing everything and all the beauty there of creation and the mountains. And all of a sudden, another park ranger comes running up to him and to the group. He's out of breath. And he said, hey, is your radio on? Have you not been listening to us? And he said, well, the radio was bothering me, and man, it was loud and kept going off, so I just turned it off. He said, listen, there is a grizzly bear that has been tracking your group now for about a mile. And he's going to make lunch out of you if you don't pay attention. Church, listen to me. Our flesh and the devil himself is like that grizzly bear, just lurking in the shadows, right? Ready to come in and destroy your witness. All it takes is one critical word or one judgmental word with that coworker, that neighbor, family member, or friend, and man, you've ruined, you know, weeks, months, possibly years of witness in a moment. And so we've got to beware of that, right? Beware of that attitude, which leads to number two. How do we avoid hypocrisy? We've got to die. There is an enemy lurking, man. We've got to die to performance mentality. But then secondly, we must desire a greater reward. Excuse me. And that's what he starts to lean into here. Do you see that? He says, those who live for appearance, who give to be seen by others, who put on a religious show, who boast of their riches or their reputation, all of those things, these hypocritical things that we put out there to try to cover up our insecurities and our inadequacies and our sin and all these things. He says here that those who live for all that outward stuff, they have their reward. It's temporary. The momentary applause. Oh, man, great job. Right? The money that you make through that business deal or through, being talented or gifted at what you are, that if that's all you're doing it for, it's not to glorify God, but it's just to fill the own void in your life, then the only reward you get is that little bit of money in the bank. So what good is that to you? What is it that causes, and we've seen much of this over the past you know, decade or so, what is it that causes a megachurch pastor to fail morally? And by the way, I'm one step from stupid just like anybody else. Same is true for you today, right? Were it not for the grace of God. Aren't you grateful again, church, for the grace of God? So let's have the right heart today and not be judgmental in this, but just reality. What is it that would cause an influential pastor to fail morally? He forgets what the reward is. The applause and the amens and the growth of the church become the drug that he's addicted to. Right? What is it that causes a rich man to abandon his family? Have all this stuff and all these possessions and this big home, yet nobody to share it with. What is it that causes him to do that? He loses sight of what the real reward is. That's what Jesus is saying here. What is it that causes, and we've seen this sadly, it's heartbreaking over the past 10 to 20 years more often than we want to admit. What is it that causes, right, the actor or the athlete who has it all, has fame, has money, has it all, to commit suicide? Totally empty inside. What is it that causes that? What, the applause has started to wane. The fame has started to wane, and now they're not the same person on the public stage that they once were. Greater reward. There's a greater reward. Jesus is the reward. Come on, church. Jesus is the reward. Some seem, and this may be you this morning, some seem incredibly strong on the outside. But truth is, you are incredibly weak on the inside. And that's where Jesus goes here. How do we avoid hypocrisy? How do we walk in peace and joy and a satisfied soul? Well, it's the secret place, isn't it? He'll use the word secret here, I believe it's seven times, if I remember right, in the first 18 verses of this chapter. Secret devotion. If there were no formal institution of church, would you pray, read your Bible, and worship? If there was no formal institution, no weekly services, no gathering of the church formally, if this didn't exist, would you pray, read your Bible, worship, and I would add to that, gather with other Christians on your own for community? That's the heart of this thing. Secret devotion. The gathering of the body is a beautiful, wonderful thing, but if we come in and put on the mask and there's no secret devotion, then it's not authentic, right? So secret place. But then he also talks here again about the reward. And Pastor Justin's already leaned into it. He's foreshadowed this for you today. Jesus talks about the reward here. Listen, church, when we think about the reward, we think about standing before God and giving an account for our life. And yes, we're all going to do that. And we will be rewarded, children of God. Aren't you glad that we won't be judged according to our sins? Our sins are done away with, but we will be judged according to our service and what we've done with the salvation that God's given us. So that's real, but when Jesus talks about the reward here, church, he talks about it in present tense language. What he's saying is the person who develops the secret place, the prayer closet, digs into the Word for themselves because they love God and they just want to know Jesus. Even if I don't fully understand it all, right? Man, I just want to dig in. I know God's going to reveal Himself to me. Those who build secret devotion to Jesus are the ones who see the reward in your life now. Peace, joy, provision, healing, deliverance, freedom. The reward is now. We live in the kingdom of God. Listen to me. Now. We fail to understand that. God is always reigning. We live in it now. The reward is now, and it will be fully consummated then. But it's now in our life, right? It's now. He reigns now. Is He king of your heart now? Church, today, does our private devotion match our public persona? Are you living a hypocritical life? If so, today, God in His grace invites you to come to His throne of grace and lay all that down and receive a fresh work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be released from all that. Wouldn't it be awesome to be completely released from all the performance junk of our culture? Today, you can be set free from all that stuff and rest in the grace of God.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.